Let's get ready to wrinkle!
Something about Porkins and the Porkins report and where that stems from. So, of course, I hopped on YouTube to show him the scene because he's like, "Who's Porkins? What does that even mean?" You know, and I showed him his 5 seconds of screen time. We were laughing about it, and I noticed I love YouTube so much. There was somebody went back, and we've already seen the cut where they've added
the burger, and the burger and the fries. Soda,
well, somebody went and recut the whole battle on the Death Star. So that Porkins is the one that blows
it. Yeah, I did see that one, yeah.
I have seen that. Oh,
outstanding.
That's great. Because he's awesome.
Yeah.
I don't see anything wrong with that at all.
Oh, no, nothing at all. It was awesome.
Yeah. Well, that's something for our listeners to look for when they're done listening to this episode of Fly Casual.
Hey!
Welcome, ladies and germs, to another house-packed episode.
Here we are.
Of Fly Casual, your favorite home for Star Wars tomfoolery. I am your host, Mr. Corey T. Wilson. With me to my left in the gaggle of thugs about is Mr. Michael J. Archbold, wondering where he can find a bottle opener
as
he just tried to twist the cap off of his IPA and his hand now hurts.
My skin is flaking and peeled, and I'm doing well, Corey T. Wilson, other than the fact that I don't have a bottle opener.
I had one around here somewhere. I can dig loudly through this drawer, but Howie might start giving me dirty looks.
I just found the other one that has a twisty on it, so I'll just stay with that one.
I got pliers.
That'll work. We'll try.
Yeah.
MacGyver.
Shatter that bottle all over the place. And of course, next to Michael is Mr. Stephen Petrie. Welcome back again.
Hello.
Welcome back.
Oh, nice.
To the same old place that you left about. Welcome back. No one knows that show, do they?
I know the show. I know.
Ooh,
don't know the music.
Me. Ooh. The old guy.
Very impressive. Welcome back.
Impressive.
Next to Mr. Steve is Jokomo, Mr. Josh Hancock from Kokomo. How are you, sir?
Hello, world.
Oh,
I'm still alive.
You brought that back. Huh?
Oh, he's going to bring it back till it sticks.
Then there's that.
And it already feels sticky. And of course... across the retention pond and down several kilometers.
Oh.
Mr. Garrick, not Jay Hardy. How you doing, sir?
Good. I'm going to attempt to not laugh at the word cockpit this time around.
Good luck. apparently no one else is making that attempt with you.
Too late.
And a master control mining the Googles is Mr. Stephen J. Howie. How are you, sir?
I am doing wonderful. Speaking of sticky, happy post-life day.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Life Day was this week, the premiere of the Star Wars Holiday Special. The premiere and only official showing of the Star Wars Holiday Special anniversary.
It exists in many other formats.
Yeah. I did not realize that aired before Thanksgiving. I was not aware of that.
That is kind of weird.
November 17th, 1978.
Yeah.
Exactly. Wow. 1 year before I was born.
Exactly.
Wow.
So now you all know when to send Garrick presents next year.
I was like 6 months old.
Right?
Yeah, how do you celebrate this?
I was a couple months old.
I was five, so I was digging it.
Yeah.
Shut up, old man.
I was watching.
Yeah.
How does one celebrate?
Jealous.
How does one celebrate Life Day?
Well, you watch Wookiee porn, and you watch Harvey Korman do a cooking show in drag.
Yeah.
And you listen to Art Carney make a bunch of really bad puns.
With eyeglasses. That was pretty cool,
So pretty much every day for me.
Reading
glasses. Pretty much. Yeah. I mean, it's the same. Every day's Life Day.
He lives in a fantasy world.
Yeah. Made it by hand. Solo.
Yes.
That joke still lands.
Oh,
I get it. After all these years.
Nailed it.
Well, hey, welcome, ladies and germs, to episode number 17?
17.
Like how I always end it in a form of a question
mark?
Yeah. We're only 17.
Yeah. You know what I mean.
I do.
Never gets old. And this is, a reviews and rumors podcast. So, hey, if you're a follower of the Rebels TV show and you haven't caught up. Nicely done.
Yep.
And you haven't caught up yet. Either, pull your earbuds out and stick your fingers in your ears and go la, 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 la for the next, I don't know how long. But yeah, we're going to spoil the crap out of that. Yep. And then we're going to talk about rumors about the movies and whatnot. And there are going to be potentially major spoilers in that. It's rumors. We don't know. We can either confirm nor deny. If we knew they were real, we wouldn't want to hear them. We can
confirm that they're spoilers?
We can confirm that they are spoilers. No, we cannot. No. We cannot confirm anything. We can
confirm that the rumor could be a spoiler-ish. We can
confirm that they are rumors.
Yeah.
And that the rumors may contain spoilers. If you're ultra sensitive, hey, this may not be the ale for you. But
you're going to miss out.
Yeah, you're going to miss out.
We'll always miss out.
And the fun and hilarity, because of course we also tuck in some extra special touches.
Tuck some bucks?
What? Yeah, we always we always tuck.
And touch.
We always tuck and touch. Nip and tuck? What? Not really in that order.
Then you get thrown out.
On touching. Anymore.
Yeah.
Nip. What?
Silence of the Lambs joke. All right.
Hello.
So, and of course, we you can look forward to the Porkins Bite of the Week. And I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to spoil it now for everybody.
Oh, spoilers.
Podcast earmuffs. Earmuffs. Podcast spoiler.
Earmuffs.
We have received our next entry in the Fly Casual Glee Club.
Oh, so did he get a group together?
Sweet. It is a group.
Really?
Okay. All right.
Yes. I can say yes, honestly, to that question.
I'm excited.
Wow. Yeah, so we will have another special Christmas song. So if you don't want to miss out on that, just grit your teeth and stay strapped in.
I apologize.
Yeah, cut in, Howie. That's fine. No, that's fine. That's great.
The only way I can get any kind of word in edgewise. So
I don't know what you're talking about.
I learned from the best, Garrick.
Hey, do you guys watch Space Ghost?
are we gonna put his works of art someplace for people to be able to download, or
probably start acquiring
SoundCloud
in the next week or two, we will find a place to throw these.
I guess we'll let them know
if
YouTube.
Yeah, you'll definitely see these show up on YouTube. These special Star Wars themed Christmas songs by the Fly Casual Glee Club. If you hate your ears, then you can find them. My 3-year-old loves them. She just hops up and down the entire time. I actually don't know if she's dancing or if it's just some weird systemic response, but it could be either way.
Convulsions, man.
Exactly. Speaking of convulsions, it's time to talk about reviews. And I think we got a couple of things to review this week. Talk about the latest episode of Rebels.
No, not necessarily.
And we're going to talk about, we're also going to talk a little more about the Tarkin novel that you've heard us mention in past episodes. But for now, why don't we jump straight into Rebels? What's the latest episode?
Latest episode is titled Empire Day.
Empire Day. Dun,
dun, dun. Empire Day.
It's like Life Day, but the opposite.
If you remember a while back, we mentioned the correlation to Firefly with the Unity Day.
That's what I was going
to
ask. How does that correlate?
Not that well.
Oh, no. Not so much.
How about for the name and them being in a bar at some point. That's about where that ends.
does it correlate to The Last Airbender and Avatar Day?
Actually, no, it doesn't.
No.
I don't know. They do set stuff on fire.
That's true.
Well, there you go. Avatar Day, they did set effigies of the avatars on fire for whatever reasons. And then they did some spinning wheel. Anyway.
Wait. How does it relate to Life Day? No, never mind.
Well, Life Day was...
Never mind. No.
Not at all, because... Never mind. So... At the beginning of this episode, we kind of come across our characters during what is called Empire Day, which we later discover is the day the Empire was founded. At the
right,
end of the
it is the anniversary of that day.
Yeah. Did that happen after the Clone Wars?
Yeah, totally. Right after, actually. Right after the Clone Wars.
Are you keeping up, Josh?
Which is the day, yeah. I guess, I got Emperor Palpatine
Star Wars, right?
Seized power and became the Emperor. Which you saw in episode 3, right after the Clone Wars.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. Ah. So we learn later on that this is actually Ezra's birthday, which I don't know, just as an aside, does that mean it's also Luke and Leia's birthday? Were they born on that same day, do you think? Or was there some time passage?
I don't think they were born on that day because, as I recall, Padme was in the Senate chamber when he announced the birth of the Empire. And she said, so this is how democracy falls, with thunderous applause. Right. And everybody goes... Best written line in the trilogy and still wah wah.
Well, Irregardless, well,
but they'd still be Ezra and, approximately the same age.
Yeah, real close. They're exactly almost the same age. So that's
Ezra
that
is Luke. Got
which,
it.
Which, by yeah, the way, makes our math from two podcasts ago pretty spot on, right? We
figure out how calculated old Ezra
that
was.
Ezra was 14, and in this episode he turned 15.
Yeah.
So we're awesome,
is what you're saying.
Yeah, exactly.
I did a little Tiger Woods arm pump when he said that he was turning 15. I was like, nailed it.
Yes.
ABY for the win. I mean, BBY for the win. Shut up.
So while they're in this bar, not celebrating Empire Day, even though the Imperials make them show it on the TVs, a pair of, I guess, for some reason, TIE fighter pilots come around looking for a Rodian fitting in a description that they have on data pads.
Right.
So Ezra sees this and he kind of recognizes this Rodian as a friend of his parents back in the day. The Rodian's name was Sebo, or is that how it's pronounced?
Sebo? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh,
I
think so.
I thought it was Lobot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rodeobot.
Right. Rodeobot. Yeah, Lobot. Yeah.
Real quick before you go on, at that scene, you know, when the TIE pilots are bossing around the Ithorian bartender to, you know, put it on the screen. It's the Laurel. And he's like, all right, fine. I was like, okay, an Ithorian that speaks basic. I have a problem with this. I'm building.
Okay.
Let me have a moment.
Okay, Corey, go ahead.
And it got closer to him, and I'm wondering how he's speaking. Not you, Howie, but how the Ithorian was speaking. And as it got closer, what it showed was that not only did he have a translation unit like on the hump of his neck that was actually translating to basic, they actually sewed the mouth openings in the side of the neck.
Right.
Yep. Where the multiple throats and vocal cords are located.
Right.
And I almost crapped my pants.
That was pretty good.
Yeah. I was so, and I out loud, you can ask my wife, I out loud went, nice touch. Like,
yeah,
that showed a loving commitment. Like, they could have just had him bobbing his head and going, you know,
right,
and then have a little droid voice.
Or doing subtitles or whatever.
But instead, even though you weren't listening to the sound he's making, you're listening to the translation, they still showed the separation on the side of the neck of his mouth opening, closing. And that is like, oh, it's so nice to see someone commit to that kind of stuff that's explained in the EU.
Right.
Yeah. You know? I think give him some weird front mouth or something stupid.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like some like vertical mouth through the front of his face.
I really think that they should have stuck fishes in people's ears.
Babel fish.
Babel fish.
Yeah. I see what you did there.
42. 42.
That's something. That's a thing.
That's a thing that's science fiction.
So there's a parade happening to celebrate the creation of the Empire, and our heroes decide to.
And this is all specifically, this is the local planet that we started the series on that Ezra calls home.
Lothal.
Right,
correct.
Yeah. Lothal. Yeah. And so they're back on that planet, which I didn't realize immediately. Before it took me a minute to realize that they were on that planet again, and this is the local celebration taking place. I mean, it's a galaxy wide thing,
right?
These are the events that they are conducting there.
It's celebrated, everywhere. So,
which makes me wonder, by the way, I mean, if this particular world is going to be kind of a central world in the series, it seems to be so far.
It is. I think Filoni said even before it premiered that this is where most of the action is going to take place is on Lothal.
Interesting.
So I was not surprised. And
which I'm kind of glad, to be honest with you. I mean, because we could be going to Tatooine and Coruscant and everything else.
I am so
instead
thrilled.
They're committing to something brand new.
Whereas the Clone Wars seemed to want to go to every planet that was in a fleeting line in the movies.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh, someone said something about
Fallujah.
We need to go to Aquila. We need to go to.
It's something more interesting about where Lothal is located. I believe it's in the Outer Rim territories near Rodia, or whatever it's called now.
Rodeo. It's not Rodeo Drive.
Which would explain the higher number of Rodians walking around on Lothal.
There are a number of Rodians. I remember thinking very early on, oh good, there's Rodians.
It is in the Outer Rim. They referenced the Outer Rim.
In one episode.
Yeah.
Okay. So the close proximity, I think that's pretty cool how they're bringing in those elements from, I guess, what could be considered the EU. I don't know if the galactic map is canon still or not.
That's a good question.
That was pretty
probably cool. Not, but I have a feeling they're using it.
I'm sure it's reference material, strong reference material.
Third star past Fallujah.
Mm-hmm. So, and straight on till morning.
Right.
The Empire puts on a parade somewhat like communist Russia, I guess, parading their large vehicles and you know, weapons.
Except for one tiny Asian man standing with his groceries in the middle of the street, refusing to move. There was a picture I saw.
Wrong communist country.
My bad.
So our heroes from the rebels decide to shoot off fireworks and start blowing crap up. They unveil the new TIE fighter that a new pilot, Baron.
And Raiden, I believe they referred to it as advanced TIE fighter. Right.
And as soon as I saw him stand up, I'm like, oh, that's that Baron Sunterfell.
Yeah, right. That's what I thought too. But
and then they said Baron. I'm like, Baylan, no.
Yeah.
That would have been so sweet if that had been Sunterfell.
The fact that a veteran hotshot TIE pilot. Exactly. Was referred to as a Baron.
Right.
Yep.
Was awesome.
Yeah.
Because that was enough. Who gives a crap about Baron Sunterfell?
Right. See, like, and I'm with you, man.
I kind of do too, but no one in the mainstream does.
Right.
No.
And here's the thing, and this is what they seem to be committing to, because just like a couple episodes ago with the Wookiees, it would have been real easy to throw Chewbacca in there.
Yep.
Right. But they didn't.
Yeah.
Well, Chewbacca's a more popular character.
Yeah. I would have totally gotten to people who are more into the EU.
And
yeah, I would have squeaked like a little girl had it been Sunterfell.
I would have been like, okay.
But I'm totally fine with it not. The fact that they acknowledge that Baron is used as almost like a title
for
the veteran pilots. Right, I was like, yes, thank you.
And that was enough. These are the things
like the Ithorian mouths.
Right.
These are like little details that like someone is paying more attention to than I felt was, I'm sorry. I never felt that way during Clone Wars. Clone Wars never made me feel like someone loved the stuff that I love.
Well, you know what the cool thing about it is I think Filoni's always been that person, but Lucas was involved in the Clone Wars.
Yeah.
So everything had to be filtered through him.
This is all
Filoni on Rebels. And I think and Filoni's a fanboy and everything else, and he just knows a little deep. And we're going to get into some of these details here in a second, you know, that us geeks and fanboys love.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's those little details that are bringing me back.
Yeah.
Because overall, for me, the series,
You're lukewarm.
I am.
Yeah.
But those little things.
That's okay. Mike hates it.
Yeah, I know. I heard that.
That's true. So our heroes blow stuff up, and it looked like Zeb had a clear shot at the Inquisitor and for somehow missed, I guess.
He had a clear shot at the special agent guy.
Callus.
Why does everybody in the Empire have such like brusque names?
They recruit him that way.
Yeah. It's like, oh, your name
Your name's Callus.
Your name's Butthead? You should be in the Empire.
Call the Star Destroyer. Call Admiral Bunyan.
Yeah. My name's...
Is your last name an adjective?
John rubs Please people the wrong way. Oh, Mr. rubs people the wrong way. Please join officer training.
I will say, though, with Agent Callus, I really like the character of Agent Callus.
Do you like his mutton chops?
He is. I love the mutton chops. That's good.
Yes.
But I just love the fact that he's a bad guy that never loses his cool. He's always in control.
Yeah.
Right.
That kind of gives me chills a little bit.
At first I just thought, well, but the Inquisitor has that sort of playful side to him. I'm fine with a little mystery and a little flourish at the same time. Whereas, Callus is just sort of just straight laced. And at first I thought that was just one dimensionality. Is that a word? At first I thought he was one dimensional. But then I realized, like you said, Mike, what they're doing is they're playing him as just being like frighteningly cool.
Yeah.
Calm.
Right.
You know,
where very he's just calm, not no matter what. Yeah, everybody else around him is freaking out or whatever, but he's always in control.
Well, you know, yeah. By contrast, the people who report to him are the freaking Keystone Cops. It's like, oh, there's fat, there's skinny, and there's other skinny. there's
fat and you know what? By the way, I'm going to point out, before the series even started, I think we had all kind of agreed that we would like to see stormtroopers portrayed in a way that wasn't Keystone Cop.
Yeah,
yeah.
And that's the one thing that I'm maybe a little bit disappointed about.
They're not... Well, I didn't expect them in this to be... badass. Now, in episode 7, I definitely have gone on the record saying I want stormtroopers to be scary again.
Right.
Yeah. Or if they ever were, I want them to be. I didn't expect it so much in this show. And in the show, they're not, I mean, yeah, they're cannon fodder. They get blown up freaking a lot.
They're expensive cannon fodder.
They blow up stormtroopers literally a lot. But at the same time, I feel like it's really more of just those Imperial officers that tend to be just the bumbling, like the bureaucrats, the low level bureaucrats, you know, bureaucrat number 82. They're just like total idiots.
Someone requisition me a beat.
Nice.
But yeah, now see, that would be great. That would get Petrie in. You'd be back on.
Oh yeah.
Rapping stormtroopers.
No, I mean, if you can believe previous episodes, they start training stormtroopers 13, 14 years old.
Yeah.
That's a lot of training invested in a trooper.
That is
to just get shot willy-nilly on a street corner,
right,
for no reason.
Exactly. But yeah, like you were saying, Zeb gets, you know, he has a clear shot on Callus, and he's like, I'm gonna do it, you know. He pulls the gun up, and then Kanan just goes, nuh-uh, shoot that guy instead. I thought was the weakest point of the whole episode.
Yeah.
Shoot the guy who could probably deflect your laser blast instead of the guy that you could actually hit force, and that's right? In trick. Some way. Oh, God.
So they end up running away from the scene because the Inquisitor, I guess, recognizes them. And they end up coming across a house after a series of events that they find out later that was Ezra's house when he actually lived in that city.
Yeah, it's an abandoned, closed off, stay the heck out, this building is condemned house.
So they kind of break their way in, and they learn that the person they've been searching for is actually hiding in the basement of
the Rodian.
That house.
Yes.
The Rodian.
Oh, yeah. Lobot.
Yeah, Zeebo.
Who has, definitely has the Lobot type implants on his head.
But, and I didn't like that at first. I was like, oh, geez.
I love
but
the explanation,
they
though.
They immediately brought, it was part of the story.
Yep.
It was that the Empire had taken him and put him in some type of intelligence work. And they had added this cybernetic unit to his head that was almost exactly like Lobot's.
Right.
Right.
And in order to help him.
Efficiency.
Yeah. Efficient. Make him more efficient in what he did. But it also.
Less emotional, more
it
efficient.
It also was breaking him down mentally.
Exactly.
And so they were worried that, oh, crap, he's got all these secrets in his head and he's dangerous because now he's going to go off and someone could get a hold of those secrets. So that's why they're after him, is to keep those secrets from getting out because he's nuts.
Right.
And
right.
So here we've got our heroes
they're
with
after
this
him, meaning the Empire.
Yeah, the Empire. So here we have our heroes who found him and he's nuts. And they're going, OK, there's got to be some way we can use this. And they're trying to figure that out.
Which, by the way, Sabine accesses some of the memories that he has. And they find out he's just a wealth of information.
Yeah, he's way.
What do they say that there's like a 5-year plan for all these planets? And
for all of like the Imperial movements over the next 5 years or something.
So it's a big deal.
That's basically like huge. That's basically like them finding the Death Star plans.
Yeah. Right.
Pretty much.
From episode 4. So
Sibo's a big enough deal that you have Agent Callus and the Inquisitor trying to find him.
Oh, right. Yeah.
I mean, what's going on there?
Well, and that's a good point, Josh. When they get, Zeb takes his shot, his horrible shot at the Inquisitor, he says, all right, send some troops after them, but we're not here for them. Like, now, mind you, these dudes have been hunting our heroes since the start of the show, yay, so many episodes ago. And here he's going, all right, go after
these guys,
send some guys after
secondary.
Them, but we're not here for them. Right. We are here to find the Rodian. So that, to Josh's point, is they're like, that's great, but this is way more important. So that Rodian is very detrimental.
Especially when they find out they brought him aboard the Ghost and are trying to flee. They send out basically a squadron and a half of TIE fighters, plus the Inquisitor flying an advanced TIE fighter to chase them down, shoot them out of the sky, and try to bring the Zeebo back into the Emperor's fold, or maybe just kill him outright to get rid of that loose string.
Right.
So at the very end, we get kind of a cliffhanger, the to be continued.
Dun-dun-dun.
Dun, dun, dun. Sibo knows what happened to Ezra's parents.
Yeah. At the last minute, Sibo suddenly becomes coherent.
Right.
Yes. Recognizes
Ezra.
He's
kind of in and out of his coherency.
Yeah. He recognizes Ezra, grabs him by the shoulders, and says, I know what happened to your parents. And then to be continued. Yeah. And then my 3-year-old goes, Daddy, what happened? And I had to explain how sometimes shows don't end.
It was a good learning moment.
That was a hard conversation.
From our understanding, right, the next episode, part two of this, is the season finale, right?
Yeah, basically this season. I don't know if they're calling it a season finale or a mid-season break.
Because seriously, am I going to have to wait a year already?
Because it's only been 7 episodes.
Right.
So do we know anything about that? See, I guess I was just assuming it was going to be a year before we'd see it again.
I checked Wikipedia today, and there was no update about if it's going to be. It's still listed as season 2.
I think the timing is up announced. In the air.
So it's been. We know that they signed up for season 2, but when does season 2 start? Is it going to be January or is it going to be like September?
I can almost guarantee you it won't be January. I think the earliest you could possibly hope to see anything would be late March, and it may well be next fall.
I don't know if they had the second season animated yet.
Yeah, I don't think so either, because, I mean, that takes a lot of money, and they were only invested in season 1 up until now.
Let me ask this to you guys. Obviously, this first season is a premiere season. It's a short season. It's 8 episodes, plus the, or is it 7 episodes plus the, the
movie.
The movie.
Quote, unquote.
Next year. Do we have a 13 episode season? Do we have a 20 episode season?
Well, what do you think? Usually late these days, an hour long show usually gets a 15 episode order. Your 30 minute shows usually get, I think, like a 21 or 24 episode order or something like that. But this show is costly. This is an expensive show to make, especially for like Disney XD.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So and I don't know.
That's not a very big channel at all.
I don't know if, it's a Disney channel. So it's got that going for it. But I don't know if we'll see the full order. I would like to think we'll see a minimum of 15.
I would
say they'll hit 15 minimum.
Yeah. I would hope so. Because when I learned that it was only an 8-episode season, I was kind of disappointed.
I was really disappointed.
I was like, I'm just getting into this. I kind of want a little bit more.
Yeah,
I'm okay with it.
Shut up.
Take some time. Regroup. Do it better.
Yeah. You do it better with your face. How about that?
My main criticism, I get sick of the same stuff. And, I talked earlier, the last time I was on two times ago I was on about, going back to the Jedi well, and that was disappointing to me.
Right.
And it seems to me every time I tune into an episode, it starts out.
They're in training.
Yeah. Chopper, look, he made Ezra mad. And then Ezra jumps on top of him and hits him with a wrench. And then he runs over Zeb's foot. I'm going to kill you both.
It's called a spanner.
Yeah, And then they go crashing into the hold and somehow offend Hera. And she gives them a withering mother look.
Yeah.
Then go into your mission.
Yeah.
I don't like cookie cutter.
Sounds good to me.
I don't like cookie cutter.
It works every time.
No, it doesn't.
Petrie doesn't like cookies.
I'm with Howie a little bit on Howie. I'm with Steve a little bit on
Steve,
this.
Yeah. No, Steve is also Howie.
Right.
Howie's I'm with Petrie on this.
There you okay.
We talked about fight or flight. I thought that was just a little bit too much over the cheesy pie edge. and all the things that you mentioned, those are the things that I'm just like, oh, you're right. Oh, here we go. Choppers be, whatever.
We get it, Mike. You hate Rebels. God.
Nice.
Well, you got to bring that up every episode.
I don't know. Mike. I'm just trying to.
Yeah, he's got backup tonight. So.
I
agree with him on that, but I'm just, I'm trying to balance this with the fact that I know it's a cartoon and it's a kid's show and you need a little bit of that, I guess.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And I got to say, overall, what I've seen, really the only episode that I really was kind of just rolling my eyes at was that fight or flight. Everything else, I'm like, okay, I'm buying this. I'm cool with this. And there's some good intense moments in there. And I like the fact that, it has a Jedi in it, but Kanan is not a full Jedi. He was never fully trained. And he doubts his own abilities to be able to train Ezra. And I like that the fact that all that's being played out. And, it's not easy for them. And I don't know. And it's different. The thing of it is we can't compare. It's hard to compare this to Clone Wars because Clone Wars had so many.
Really? Because I was just going to compare it to Clone Wars again.
Clone Wars is all over the place. I'm saying that they're very different because Clone Wars had just a huge palette of characters to choose from. And this show is going a completely different direction.
It's
it's going a direction where we're just focused on just this main core of new characters.
I would take the worst episode of this over the best episode of Clone Wars.
I don't know about that, but you just have to. I mean, you know,
those Darth Maul episodes.
I could give you a comparison that I heard you mention in one of a previous podcast was the comparison of the one where Ezra was a mini trooper or whatever.
Yes.
And they compared that to the Clone Wars episode of Island of Misfit Toys.
Right.
Or whatever it was.
Right. The Island of Captain Moreau.
More enjoyed the Clone Wars episode.
Didn't see it. Want to know why? Yeah. Didn't like Clone Wars that much.
Fine. I enjoyed it more than the Rebels one.
The Obi-Wan Undercover was good episode.
Oh, yeah. Right. No, that I did see.
This is the other one where the oddball recruit. Is that the one where the bunch of recruits who kind of don't fit into any squad because they're all kind of sucking?
That one, yes.
That one
they
I did
kinda
not
They kind of come together and overcome obstacles. Or else become janitors, I guess.
Is yes.
No, literally.
But BA
janitors. Maintenance engineers, guys.
Right.
Sorry.
Yeah. I can jump on the Petri train here. I mean, we've talked about this. Maybe not on the podcast, but around the fire. Ha ha, you guys weren't there. Around the fire, we've talked about
listeners.
Why can't we go with, like, the MASH story? You know, the people that are totally the non-Jedi.
Red Star.
Yes, MedStar. The people who are just the normal people who are in this struggle going through this. And granted, I work with teenagers. Okay.
You were waiting for an awkward joke to be made right there.
No,
I was trying to think it loud enough into the microphone for it to take, but it didn't.
This series is trying to reach out and grab a new generation of followers. It's not specifically. Nailed it.
Give me some. Yeah.
It's not specifically reaching out to the fanboys. Now they're throwing in all these things that we recognize to tag us along. Okay. But they're bringing in the Jedis. They're bringing in these things to try and reach out to a new fan base. They're not going to go out on the, left field and try and do this totally new thing. So it is a new thing, but yet they're hitting the same old chops.
Right.
I'm just hoping in season two, they'll have more episodes to kind of build a larger thing. Because this one, every episode pretty much this season has been a one shot. Except for this last one seems like it's more main storyline, but
overarching. Maybe not. I mean, there's some big themes that still need to be answered. We have the question about Fulcrum. And actually, do you want to hit on some of the rumors about Fulcrum?
Before we do, I would like to point out, Josh, you inspired this, but you're not the first one. Anytime, and this is for some of our pickier listeners, anytime anyone pluralizes the word Jedi by saying Jedis. An Ewok falls out of a tree and gets skewered on a stick.
Well, that's fine with me.
Jedi's.
You're welcome.
You just killed all those Ewoks.
I'm fine with
Clap
it.
Clap your hands.
Yeah, I do have to mention.
I do believe in Ewoks. I do have to mention.
There's a article on nationmultimedia.com. They did an interview with Dave Filoni.
Sounds legit.
And one of the questions he answered that they are currently working on the end of season one. The article is just posted on the 21st of November. Ooh. So they're currently working on the end of season one while developing season two at the same time.
If they're currently working on the end of season one, there's got to be more than the season closer.
They could have interviewed him a month ago.
That's true. It could be an older interview that they just posted.
I mean, the last episode's already done.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it airs in a couple days. I should certainly hope so.
Well, it aired early for people who have.
That's true. It's already available. App,
and I've already seen it, and it is awesome.
Awesome. Tell us nothing.
Yeah. Well, you
spoil things for the listeners, not for us, Bucko.
Yeah,
that's how we roll.
Well, one of the cool.
I'll be overly critical of it anyways.
Yeah, before we move on too far from this episode, I do want to point out one of the cool Easter eggs that I saw in it. Others too.
I have non-Easter egg things I still want to talk about in this episode.
Cool. One of the things that I saw that I absolutely loved and I couldn't believe that when I saw it was there's a scene where Ezra goes into the basement of the house where they find the Brodian, and he goes down there and he sees some equipment down there. Apparently, we learned that Ezra's parents used to broadcast pirate radio signals.
Pirate hollow radio
against the Empire, and he finds a data disc down there that he pulls out and he takes a look at, and he ends up discarding, and Sabine grabs it. But if you take for, and this is Filoni reaching out to the fanboys.
Again, we've talked about, before you say it, we've talked about like Ithorian mouth location.
Right. Yes.
That's right.
You know, we're talking about like very minute details. So what was the significance of the data disc?
Well, the data disc is the same design as a data disc that was in a video game from 2002.
Yeah. Yep, you're referring to Dark Forces 2 Jedi Knight.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
There's our Kyle Katarn is chasing after I can't even remember the
Valley of the Jedi.
Valley of the Jedi, but the robot, what was the robot's name? I can't even remember.
Ouija.
No, yeah. Ouija was the robot from his that read the data disc. The one he was chasing was the Dark Jedi, the guy at the very beginning of the game.
Oh, yeah, Jarek.
Yeah. No, not Jarek. No,
there was an assassin.
He had a whole
droid.
Team of them.
Yeah, it was an assassin droid or something. Oh, that had the data disc that holds it up to him.
Yeah,
he had to find his head because you blew it off.
Exactly. I believe it was 88 or something like that.
Yeah, 88. Close. Yeah. That's what it was. And
I played that game a lot, you guys. and recently.
I think it's, me too. And actually, in the first level, you have to retrieve this data disc. And the design of the data disc in this episode of Star Wars Rebels is the exact same thing from a video game from 2002 it was.
Yeah.
That was
awesome. And I mean, the reason why we're not stretching when we say it's the same kind of disc, because it's not just a disc. It's not just like it's not shaped like a diskette, like the one that, that Ezra pulls up through the ceiling panel that he steals out of Kallus's office a couple episodes ago. No, it's a very specific looking alien technology kind of looking disc.
Yep.
And ironically enough, where does Kyle have to take that disc so that he can actually have it read?
He has to take it to a drawer. Yeah,
he has to take it to his dead parents' basement. Done. Right.
Yeah, you're right.
Because he takes it to the droid Ouija who reads
it
for him.
I mean, that's just one example of Dave Filoni just understanding. And it's one of us pointed out, maybe it was Howie, I think, in an episode or two ago, that Filoni he understands the fanboys, and maybe he's doing it for himself, or maybe it's just reaching out to the fanboys. But either way, it's cool that those minute details that the mass majority of the people that watch that show aren't going to pick up on those things, but us geek boys that have been fans since the 70s are going to look at that and be like, oh, that is so cool.
I put Star Wars in my diaper.
It's his way of saying the EU is not dead.
It's being incorporated
into this canon.
Yeah. We're weaving it back together.
Yep. Absolutely.
Yeah, and that's
nature.
People have been saying that a lot, but it's hard to believe it until you actually see it and they're actually doing it. You're like, okay,
I'm getting a little more faith in this. I was very confident that we would see EU elements weaved in. My brain never latched onto the fact that we would see this type of minutia.
Right.
We're to show that, like, guys, we care a lot about this stuff. We're not just gonna, get to season two and go, oh, look, here's a young Mara Jade.
Right.
That would be sweet though.
But that's a gimme.
It will be
very nice. Yeah. But that's a gimme. It's like, if you're gonna pull from the EU, go get Mara Jade.
But the little stuff,
go to these little details and stuff like that, it's going, oh, it's gonna be okay, fellas. I'm rubbing Howie's shoulder. I'm leaning over, rub Mike's shoulder. It's gonna be okay. Cause like, it's like, it's all still together. It's all still a piece.
Although, isn't it really easy to pull those kind of pieces in because they're not big kind of set pieces?
Yeah, it is, but it takes a certain degree of attention and effort to do it.
Right.
You don't have to fly your flag all the way up the flagpole to get approval to have a data disc look a certain way. But someone's going, hey, do this like this. See this print off?
Yeah.
Do that.
See, I'm taking what we've seen because at the beginning of the summer when everything was declared legends and everything else, there's a lot of hurt feelings, right? Uh-huh. About that whole thing. And
to put it nicely, butt hurt.
Yeah. They were very much so. Yeah. But what we're seeing here is guys like Dave Filoni are saying, guys, it's cool. Guys, it's cool. We're going to take everything. The way I'm taking it is they're saying we're going to take everything that we possibly can from that, from that old fiction and pull it back in.
And who knows, maybe some of it's a little bit of side engineering. Maybe someone's like, hey, if we stick some of these building blocks back in here when nobody's paying attention, then they're in there.
Yeah.
And then the more of that stuff you see build up, the easier it is to pull in some of the other stuff.
And a good example of that would be the Darth Revan stuff that's going on right now.
Yeah, all the talk about Revan. Yeah.
About Revan, because our last rumors cast, you were talking about, well, you know, there's a lot of Revan stuff that's kind of ongoing right now with
the Old Republic game
and stuff like that. So is that canon? Is it not? That type of stuff. So,
it's officially not, but it's teetering on the edge. Right.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Because going forward, everything new is supposed to be canon. So I think we're going to see very slowly but surely a lot of that stuff get pulled right back in.
Yeah.
Yeah. The question is, are they saying, yes, all of that stuff happened? Or are they saying, hey, it's there if you want to believe that it could have happened?
I think it's more the second thing you said, but also I really like what I said. I think they're just kind of like, just casually side-loading things back in, you know, just casually building things, pulling things back in. So if things get left undefined, it's easy to say, and it's easy to define it the Legends way. It's easy to say, okay, that whole thing was undefined, but all the evidence from that is here in the canon now. So it may as well be canon. Right.
Yeah.
And that makes me feel better.
Me too.
I wasn't that upset about it.
I feel it's a way of them saying, we're sorry.
Speaking of canons, rest on a certain swiveling thing called a fulcrum, right?
Yeah.
So
here we go.
I think the biggest question I think on a lot of people's mind is,
this is a huge
one. Who the heck is fulcrum? Who the heck is it?
There's a lot of questions.
Mike, what do you think?
Hold on.
Fulcrum being,
you know, we talked about it in the last Reviews and Rumors cast.
The Out from Darkness episode refers to.
Well, I think we heard the name once before that.
We may
the Fulcrum
have,
name. But it's basically this mystery contact of Hera where they get
an informant.
An informant slash maybe someone who goes, hey, here's a good mission for you guys. Or, you know, some kind of someone who's providing them, who knows, means, equipment, goods. I mean, Fulcrum set up for them to get the crates of whatever in the Out of Darkness episode.
Yes, right.
And so Fulcrum is providing in some way. And of course, Sabine wants Hera to let her in. She wants to know who Fulcrum is. And Hera is like, no, you know, sawed off.
Right.
But so there is a, I don't want to call it a rumor, but let's say someone has come up with a grounded theory about the identification of Fulcrum.
Yeah. There's a lot of chatter this week for those who care about this type of thing. Somebody actually went in and we actually hear Fulcrum's voice in the episode of Out of Darkness. Mm-hmm. Okay. And it is an obviously modified voice. Yeah.
The kind of voice that back in the day, Dateline exposés would put somebody in silhouette and they would modify the voice so that they sound like Buffalo Bill from Silence of the Lambs. Right. The fact that this is the second time that he's come up is kind of creepy. But
Exactly. So what this particular fan has done is they've taken that audio and this is just crazy to me that people take it to this length, but it's great at the same time.
They remodulated.
They took the audio from the episode of Fulcrum and they brought it up some pitches, you know.
Yeah, brought it up in pitch.
And pitch and a couple of different spots. And what they were trying to prove, there's a theory out there that Fulcrum is possibly Ahsoka Tano.
From the Clone Wars, Tano.
Oh gosh,
potato, potato.
Ben Affleck.
Let's call the whole thing.
Well, the blog that we read this week that posted the audio, the remodulated audio, points out that if you listen to it, it sounds an awful lot like the actress. Ashley Eckstein that played
the voice of
Ahsoka Tano,
which she's not credited. She's not in that episode.
Well, they wouldn't.
Right. I doubt that they would, but
that would
listened to it because I'm a big Ahsoka Tano fan and I follow Ashley.
And of course,
Eckstein.
Clone Wars ended with Ahsoka walking off and going, I'm done with y'all's.
Right.
Y'all are screwed up. You're doomed. So I don't want to have any part of you.
Right.
That
so
was
to back,
awesome.
So to back up, you know, which makes sense because she would have escaped Order 66, right?
Yeah, exactly.
She would have escaped Order 66.
Theoretically.
Right. She would have survived. Because she had left the order by the time Order 66 was executed. So
exactly.
That's what the theory is. I've listened to the audio, the remodulated audio, and I think it sounds like Ashley Eckstein. Yeah. I really do. So
I have not listened to it, but I looked at the picture of her that you sent to us, and that woman haunts me. Haunts me. That, so is a, Mike, that is a gorgeous older woman.
She is.
She is. Are you ascribing to that theory, or do you have something of your own?
No. I'm ascribing to that theory.
Fulcrum, the whole rebellion started with Ahsoka Tano, is what you're saying.
Well, I don't necessarily believe that.
But potentially.
The whole thing, no. I think she's involved in it.
Well, she's definitely a major right. player.
Probably. And again, I don't think she's the one pulling the strings. I think she's the one providing the intel. I don't think she's as high up as perhaps, you know, maybe you're suggesting. But
That theory makes me like that episode a lot more. Because I didn't like it much at all.
Really?
Yeah.
Really.
Does anybody else have any theories they were thinking of?
About Fulcrum?
I was originally thinking it was Bail Organa, but this new theory is way too sparkling and shiny to ignore.
Well, I think if you listen to the audio and they modulate it up even a half, and they modulate it up a half and then a full step, it's a female voice. It just is.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't think there's any way to deny that.
I can modulate my own voice and make it sound female.
I know you can. But
I can see it being Ahsoka, but I really think it's Leia. Just my theory, I guess.
Really?
Well, Leia would be 15, right?
Yeah,
right.
But she is.
She started in the Senate when she was 14.
Here's my thing.
I get that.
She modulates her voice. Why would Ahsoka modulate her voice? No one's going to recognize her. She's probably an adult.
She would be an adult, yeah. But she's also a former Jedi.
She's an apprentice to the Jedi who done killed the rest of them.
Yeah. Right.
Exactly. And she was all over the Holovids when in the Clone Wars.
Yeah, exactly.
So she would be very productive of her identity. Now.
But here's where my you got me on that.
No, I like the Leia theory. Please go.
The only reason she has a reason to modulate her voice because she's young, might not be taken seriously. The only person who knows who she is, theoretically, is Hera. And Hera's not going to, you know, let anybody know because I think she's afraid of figuring out that they're actually taking orders from someone who's Ezra's age.
Right. It makes sense because she treats Ezra, she treats him
like an adult. Like he can do, you know, that's anything true. Like Kanan.
Maybe that's Hera's thing.
In the Star Wars universe as a whole, I mean, people start things at younger ages. I mean, we know that Padme started, you know, her route when she was very young.
She remodulated her voice every time she opened her mouth.
We must do something.
And we know that Leia started in the Senate when she was 14, 15 years old. So we know that in the Star Wars universe, kids start younger as far as...
Yeah, she's a junior senator.
Right.
I believe, right. Officially at this point. And also, let's not forget, when Bail Organa was on the show, he took note of their group, and that was before Fulcrum was a name. I believe we had not heard Fulcrum's name at all.
No, prior to
that point. So it could be that Bail said, all right, we're going to do this. He could even potentially be involved. We're going to do this,
but
it's got to go through you or something.
Here's why
like that.
I don't think that that's the case, though, because even back to A New Dawn, we know that Hera was taking missions from somebody.
Oh,
so
really?
She had already had established contacts and stuff back then.
Okay.
Before this group was even formed.
So that could be potentially Fulcrum even back at that point.
That's what I think.
Are you theorizing that Hera does know that it is Ahsoka Tano or no?
I can't say that for sure.
Yeah, I think whether Hera actually knows is up in the air.
Okay. I would say maybe she does and maybe she doesn't.
The only hole I could poke in that theory is if she did is that knowing that Ahsoka was a Jedi and knowing that Kanan is one of the last of,
right?
Why would you keep them apart?
I would think that Ahsoka would probably establish those ground rules if she knew. She would say, oh yeah, right out of the gate. Because remember, Jedi left bad taste in her mouth.
True.
So, Josh, what do you got to say?
Yeah, let me throw out another potential piece of this puzzle. So, you guys have read The Truce of Bakura?
Yes.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
Which is our legend.
Wow.
My friend.
I'm not on the edge of my stool, but I did scoot back on it.
So, the main religion of Bakura was referred to as Fulcrum. This religion is kind of a karma-based religion in which every action has a
This is why
reaction.
We can't let Josh look at Wikipedia while we're recording.
No, but hear me out. So this is one thing that has not been covered very much in the movies. this idea that balance has to be brought to the Force. So it's been referred to as fulcrum, as a prophecy. Fulcrum, or sometimes referred to as balance.
Isn't that what the whole movie's about?
No.
Okay. It is, so, but only when you stop and have a dialogue about it. The movies don't really commit to that idea.
We know that there's a writer and creator here who's intentionally trying to reach out to these symbolic points from the EU. So whoever this character is, they're probably trying to play a role of bringing some sort of balance to the Force. I don't know how that plays into this.
Well, that's true. I mean, the code name, we haven't talked about the code name Fulcrum by itself. You know, we haven't really addressed the fact that Fulcrum is, you know, Fulcrum is a point of balance. The Fulcrum is the turning point of a lever, right? So it is a point of balance. Sure. So that to me, maybe even more points more in the Ahsoka direction than the Leia direction, who would not be that in tune with that stuff.
Right.
I had another theory.
Please.
Uh-oh.
Why can't Fulcrum be Mon Mothma?
She absolutely could be.
Why not? Right.
She absolutely could be. Here's the thing,
and here's what I'm going to say about all this, and this is why I don't think Ahsoka Tano is the true, you know, master, you know, puppeteer pulling the strings of the rebellion, is because actually there are deleted scenes from Revenge of the Sith that actually show that Padme, Bail Organa, Mon Mothma, and others are actually meeting in secret and actually starting
They're in the book.
They did not make the movie.
And also they all showed up in The Force Unleashed. Thank you very much.
Well, but
Leia was there too.
But we also see some of that in the Clone Wars series. So, I mean, there's some of those discussions and things behind closed doors. So I believe that those are the people that are actually pulling the strings of the rebellion. I think Ahsoka is just part of it. Because she knows some of
he means it when he throws his bottle cap on the floor.
Mic drop.
All right, we've talked a lot about the identity of Fulcrum. I'm going to wheel it back to something a little lighthearted before we move on, because it's something that I really want to talk about, the Advanced TIE Fighter.
Okay.
This Advanced TIE Fighter was not a TIE Advanced.
No, it was
not. A TIE Advanced being the derivative of Darth Vader's TIE Fighter that we saw A1. In the TIE Fighter series. Yeah, the A1, which is Vader's.
Right.
And the TIE Advance being the ship that came from that we saw in the TIE Fighter video game.
Yes.
And TIE Advance had shields, unlike a TIE Fighter, had hyperdrive, unlike a TIE Fighter, you know, life support system, stuff like that. Now, having said that, this was not that, but it did have sort of TIE Interceptor / TIE Advance bent in wings. Now, they weren't hexagonally bent in, but they were, or I guess it would be more octagonal. They were curved
concave,
in.
Right.
And they actually collapsed so it could land on its own struts without having to sit up on its nacelles like a regular TIE fighter does. I thought this was really interesting. And the fact that they had said they actually used the name Senar.
They did. I was glad that they did that.
Yeah, they credited Senar Fleet Systems for the development of this new prototype advanced TIE fighter.
Again, and I'm like, okay, to the EU.
They're calling it an advanced TIE fighter, but it's definitely not a TIE advanced. And also, the TIE advanced wouldn't have a prototype for years. But didn't they destroy the thing right then and there?
But they had another one.
They had another one. So what I'm thinking is this is sort of a pre-TIE Advanced program. Like, it looks like an earlier prototype that maybe gets developed over the course of several years.
This is something that they've been doing actually with all the a lot of other things that the Empire is presented with in the series. For example, Stormtroopers. Mm-hmm. The helmet is more bulbous than the ones that we see in episode 4.
I always just assume that was because of the cartooniness of
it. No, it's not. Actually, I've read an article that says that they did that specifically to show that you know, this is a different point in time.
Right.
Yeah. The other example would be the AT-ST.
Yeah. Definitely. We're not looking at a normal AT-ST.
Right.
It almost looks like a hybrid between an AT-ST and an AT-PT, which comes along later.
It's sleeker, almost streamlined. Where an AT-ST is a little boxy.
Well, I think it's right in the middle between what we saw in the Clone Wars and what we see in Empire Strikes Back.
And it's a one-seater. It's not a two-seater. Exactly. Well, at least it's not two seats side by side like an AT-ST.
So there's little things like that.
You can fit three cadets in there.
That show that they're trying to show that this is a different point in time.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. But really close to.
Yes.
That's the thing. They're having to demonstrate differences, even though we're within a few years of A New Hope.
Right. 5 years.
Yeah. They're still, you know, that's not a long period of time. So things have to be really similar.
Right.
right. but still defining a difference, which I think they're doing really well.
They are. Very yeah. much.
I want to see more variants. I know like variation costs money, but I don't want to see the same walker every time. You know, I want to see more, but that's just me being greedy. Sure. Animate more things, throw more cool stuff at me because so far so good. Like the Ghost. I love that ship. I think that ship is, you know, Millennium Falcon, you know, classic. I, you know, absolutely top of, you know, the arguments of best spaceship ever. You know, it's right there, you know, and then Star Trek nerds will say the Defiant. And I say, go home. I don't, I say, tell me more. But also, you know, if from X-Wing Alliance, the YT-2000, which was like a symmetrical Millennium Falcon. I love that ship. The Ebon Hawk is another one that would definitely took its shape and style from the Millennium Falcon with a, you know, several thousand years earlier look to it. And I loved that from Knights of the Old Republic. The Ghost is a great looking ship. I want to see more of their style, the original stuff like that, where it's like, yeah, we've styled it to look like Star Wars. Because I feel like the stuff that they've done so far looks more like Star Wars than anything the prequels did. Almost anything in the prequel. I mean, the prequels, really, we had to get to like the Jedi Starfighters, like the second, the ARC 170s or whatever they were called.
Right.
I don't remember what I'm talking about. I get those confused. But the ones from Revenge of the Sith, you know, the opening scene, and those are like, oh, wow, that's like a precursor. That's like somewhere between an A-Wing and a TIE Fighter. That's kind of cool. But like when I watched episode one and I'm like, why are they flying around a bunch of anorexic SR-71 Blackbirds that fly backwards? I didn't understand, you know, and so, yeah, I'm really happy to see that styling there. And I just want so much more of it. Hopefully now that they know their flag for another season, they're willing to take more.
I think you're referring to the N1 starfighter in that.
Yes. Yes.
That, yeah.
Okay. The Nebu N1.
Yeah.
The blue flame.
Right.
Starfighter.
Yeah.
Simmer your SpaghettiOs over the back of their engines.
SpaghettiOs.
Yeah. Anyhow, why don't we move on from Rebels? Because, wow, did we get into that?
Rebels.
Like you said, there's a lot going on in that episode, and I'm sure we'll just be as absolutely crazy next episode when we talk about the next one. So let's talk about more about the Tarkin novel by the name of Tarkin, because novels.
That's nice.
Who's
so what do we got? Who's reading this, man?
I'm 30 pages in.
30 pages? Wow.
Now, I know how fast you read. I'm assuming you read that while standing in a urinal.
I got that.
Like you were peeing standing
up. I got distracted by work and comics and other things.
Oh, comics. Hopefully they're Star Wars comics.
No, they're all comics.
Yeah.
All of them.
All of them.
Anybody else reading this?
Yeah, I've well, no.
No, you're listening. I'm listening to
Howie here. Yeah. Is anyone experiencing the Tarkin novel?
Yeah, yeah.
Where are you at? You 30 pages in?
I'm about halfway through.
Halfway through.
Nice. Yeah. All right. Nice, nice.
So how does it feel traipsing through the flower bed of James Luceno? Luceno.
Well, Luceno.
Wasn't that the Star Destroyer and the
you think of the Lusitania. Oh, that's right. That and started, we got America involved in war. Never mind.
Oh, that's right. The Battle of Faye Fira.
Right. Yeah. That's the
Lusitania, right.
This so far has been a very dry book.
Yes.
So this has been a James Luceno book.
It's been full of politics.
Yeah.
And the very beginning moved pretty slow. And the pacing so far throughout the whole thing has been kind of off. It's been back and forth, you know, from the past to the current, almost like every other chapter kind of a thing. But as now that I'm about halfway through, it's really starting to get really interesting to me.
Yeah.
Of course, obviously you're learning a lot about Tarkin's background and that kind of a thing and how he came to be. And you really start to find out how close Palpatine and Vader and Tarkin really are throughout this whole career and even being young. So it's so far, I'm really liking it a lot now that I've gotten past that first.
I'm on board.
I
like Tarkin, though.
Do they well establish the dynamic? Here's one thing that's always bothered me.
Yes,
and I've heard other people. Good. let's move on. No.
I have a question.
I've heard other people mention this before, and it's always kind of stuck in my craw because I don't think we've ever gotten a really good explanation for the fact that Tarkin can order Vader around.
Yeah, right.
Vader, release him.
Oh, it's...
So
they dip right into that.
That's what this whole thing is about.
Okay, so it's about the power struggle.
Never been established.
Perfect. Exactly.
Oh yeah,
it's a big hole in the fact that we've taken Vader to be the Emperor's second,
number two, right?
But yeah he's the Emperor's deuce.
You can tell that Palpatine's he's
hitting them.
Well, I wouldn't say pitting them. He's really
because
he wants them to
outdo each other, challenge each other. Oh, okay.
And work together well. But from a Sith Lord point of view, I need you to, challenge each other and work well in that way.
Right.
Yeah. Iron sharpens
so
iron.
Yeah. He's you could see he's going right into that. It's okay. I really start to see it get really interesting, and this is why I'm really starting to get into it and like it a lot.
Yeah.
But the first, first probably third of the book is where Tarkin came from, why he is the way he is.
I feel like Luciano likes to throw a lot of characters at me that I don't care about. Is that a problem?
there are several different characters in here, but
yeah.
I really feel like it's focused mainly on Tarkin, Palpatine, and Vader.
Yeah, that's really? Kind of the. Okay. It's interesting. Yeah.
The pages I read was doing some starship operations, and it kind of reminded me of when we played Artemis, the video game.
Ah, yes.
Excellent.
Starship Bridge Simulator.
Yeah.
Game.
It was very bridge simulator-ish, where Tarkin was obviously in charge.
Ooh, very tactical
to do things. Oh yeah.
So it's very tactical. When the book starts, I mean, you're saying it's given his backstory. I mean, where do we start? I mean, like when he's a kid. I mean, or is he in the academy at some point?
I'm trying to remember now. Right at the very beginning. Does it start with him on that?
He's on board of. He's at a mining colony.
Is he a moth yet?
He's in charge of the mining colony who are making very essential parts for the Death Star.
He's just a governor at the beginning, right?
Yeah.
He's not a Moff yet.
No, he is a Moff.
Yeah. Oh, he is a Moff.
Yeah.
Okay. That is a governor, right?
He's not a Grand Moff.
He's not a Grand Moff.
Not a Grand Moff.
Is he hitting Dala yet?
Every night.
Yeah. Every night.
Does that come up?
Does it? I haven't.
In the book.
I haven't heard
it. Did you say Diala?
I call her Diala.
Sometimes.
It's the EU, man. Get over yourself.
I know.
That's the great thing about the EU is that we all pronounce all of these names differently.
No, I feel like all of us pronounce them the same and you pronounce them differently.
I pronounce them correctly because I listen to them.
The really harsh part, though, is when I listen to other Star Wars podcasts and I hear things go way off the rails. Not that I think that we're like a picture of nailing things down and getting it right. We've got our thumbs in our ears and up our butts. Yeah. I get that. But when I hear somebody say like Devonorian, I'm like, okay, look at where the letters are. Yeah. If you said Devaronian, I would be better than Devonorian.
Right.
It's a Devaronian, you know.
Anyway, take it easy on those letters. Slisdexia.
Yeah. I get upset.
I think it raises an interesting question. If Dalai Lama or whatever you call her
is in Dala Dala or Dialawea.
If she is in that, does that now bring Maw installation into canon?
Where does that fall in? Where did they?
Dala is up?
They were hooking up in the Death Star novel.
She goes on in the Legends canon. She goes on to be the head of Imperial Intelligence.
Right.
And early on in her career, she was bandied about quite a bit for being female officers of any ilk.
Right.
And a lot of people said that the reason why she was successful early in her career is because she was bumping the proverbial uglies with Tarkin.
Know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Who wouldn't want to?
Didn't she command Maw installation too at one point?
She did.
I believe so, yeah. I believe that's accurate.
And then she became leader of the Republic.
I don't know if when they were trying to develop the super weapon that eventually becomes a Death Star way back in Rogue Planet, if it was established then that it would happen at the Maw installation or whatever, because that book was awful and I just erased it from my memory.
No, there's no mention of Maw installation in Rogue Planet.
Yeah, so as of yet, I don't think the Maw is a thing. I mean, we're close to it. The Kessel, you know, Kessel exists.
Right.
You know, the black holes of the Maw, they have not been named in anything canonical in the new canon.
Yeah.
But they, you know, they those black holes are there because that's how Han gets to the Kessel Run in 12 parsecs.
What we're talking about, for those who are not familiar with the EU, the Maw installation is a series of black holes, and this is supposedly where
The Maw is.
Right, the Maw is. This is where the Death Stars were built, constructed, and there's several versions of them. There's not just the two, actually, from A New Hope and from Return of the Jedi. There's actually a couple more.
Neither of them were built at the Maw.
No. But the original full-size prototype of the Death Star, which was just a frame and a super laser, was built at the Maw. Yes. There's also been a couple other super lasers built at different times in the Legends canon.
Right.
Yeah.
At the beginning of the book, and I'm not sure if Howie's read anything to refute this, but at the beginning of the book, they kind of leave it open as to where the design from the Death Star came from. Because in episode 2,
it came from Geonosians.
Well, they make a point of nobody really knows where the Geonosians came up with that.
Well, that's the thing. At the time where episode 2 came out, it was canon at that time, at least as much as anything could be, that it was Tarkin and Sinar who originally conceived of it.
Right.
When Tarkin was still a lieutenant. And so they were, I mean, just literally over coffee and cigarettes, trying to come up with something like this. And very, very early, and that was in the Bob Bear, whatever his name is, written Rogue Planet book, which is awful, but yet ties Greg in Bear. The whole new Greg, Je- Bear, Greg right. Bear ties in the whole new Jedi Order stuff later. But yeah, doesn't necessarily mean it was super canon then. But when I went and I saw it pop up, I'm like, oh, that's where that stuff that they did ended up. Like, my mind just immediately connected the dots because it was safe to do that back then.
Right.
You could see something in a movie and go, oh, that's from this book. And it was fine. Now everything's kind of, I don't know. I'm not really sure. You know? So Howie, has Tarkin stepped up and taken credit for that? Or is any of that in the book?
Not yet.
Okay. Interesting.
Well, and we'll definitely come back to this once we're finished, or at least one of us is finished reading it.
That's right.
Garrick will go pick it up.
Garrick will have to have a stand-up pee again.
Well,
at some point.
Yeah, I'm a little more interested in it now too. I might actually.
It's definitely dry.
We've been to the Lacheno well several times.
That was going to be one of the points. I'm not surprised that it's that way, because Luciano's that way. Sometimes he can be very, you're just like, oh my gosh,
you might want to listen to this one too.
As long as he's not writing action, because that's the only thing worse is reading his action
very little action right at the beginning. There's some,
it's not his forte,
but it's action from afar.
Yeah.
So, but that's about it.
Gotcha. Well,
Vader does kill somebody.
Shut up.
Yep.
No way.
Oh, man. God. Well, having said that, guess what, ladies and gentlemen? It's time for the Porkins Report.
We got another one?
Yeah. Wow. This is the first one.
Two in a row.
This is the first one in this episode. What are you guys talking about?
Two in a row.
Yeah.
We're all dancing.
That's true. We usually do one every other episode. I'll give you that. Did you know that the dude play Porkins went by the name of Hoot?
Hoot?
Hoot.
Because his real name in the For Real Reels was William Hootkins.
Hootkins. Porkins and Hootkins?
Porkins.
Hootkins. Are you saying that there's like a kind of play on words there?
I don't know. That dude left. I don't know why you guys are all looking at me just because I let him use my microphone.
Some universe somewhere just imploded.
Yeah. William Hootkins.
Hootkins.
We always learn something. Would you guys so educational, though.
Ever think you would ever stand a chance of having a nickname as BA as Hoot?
Hootkins.
Like, so Hoot. Hoot. Yeah.
That's as good as it gets.
What the hoot?
Do some of that Alfred Hitchcock for us, y'all.
That dude's a hoot.
What? Let's hear that Orson Welles, bitch. Those are parts that he played. Just letting you guys in on the joke that I'm having all by myself over here.
Yay!
Nothing wrong with that.
You didn't go to the Detective Eckard well.
No, but you know where I'm going? I'm going straight into room.
Oh. Ooh.
Nice. This is my well.
Oh, yeah.
Well, boys.
I always feel like I should start taking my clothes off real slowly when the song plays.
You know, last episode, dialing in remote. Last episode, we talked about this teaser trailer that's supposed to be coming out. You know?
Right,
what?
Right.
Huh? Yeah, ooh, there's what? A teaser trailer coming out for episode 7.
You I remember the movies.
Hey, for all we know, by the time you listen to this, you may have already seen it.
Yeah, tell us how
for reals. Well, there's a lot of speculation on
lots
when we're lots. Actually going to see that. We talked last episode about supposedly what we're going to see.
Yep.
We don't know when we're going to see it.
I don't want to guess, because what if it is already seen when people listen to this? They go, you was wrong already when I'm listening.
Yeah. This is like Inception, man.
No, this is just not. It's during Fury.
Was not during Fury.
Yeah.
Good. There. Good to know.
Okay. Cross that one off the whiteboard.
Yeah, we've already crossed some off the list, right?
It wasn't during whiteboard. Rudy.
Wasn't Rudy?
No.
Rudy
wasn't during Dumb and Dumber 2.
It was not an after Rudy? Credit sequence of episode 3 either, so I'm going to wipe that one.
No, not during Rocky.
No, not.
No.
Nor Rocky 5.
All movies ever Tommy made.
Gunn. Actually, more relevantly
speaking. It wasn't
speaking.
In front of episode 4, A New Hope. It was
the re-release of Debbie not. Does Dallas. Or,
wow.
Was that just in Kokomo?
Actually, our very own Stephen Howie has seen The Hunger Games.
I've seen it.
And it is not in front of the Hunger Games. That was
he has caught Fury.
This was
the name of it, Catching Fury or something.
No, it's called Mockingjay.
Mockingjay
Part One.
Yeah. Mockingjay Part One.
Fiery Fury of Jay.
Catching Fire was the second one.
Oh, okay.
And yeah. Fury was the tank.
Anyway, huge fan of the Hunger Games, I am.
Yep.
Stretch it into two movies.
Mockingjay Part One was highly speculated to be one of the movies that the trailer would appear in front of, and it
never believed
not.
It for a second. Never thought it for a second.
So, except for like. 2 episodes ago, you were saying,
and I was
maybe.
That seems maybe, yeah. Plausible. Never bought into it.
All right.
No. Never bought
so
into my
here's,
own hype.
Here's what we got left, boys.
It wasn't in Jaws.
It was not in Jaws. You're right.
Awesome.
You're right. It was also not in front of Jaws 3D. I'm just saying.
That was an awesome movie, though.
It was.
Or Jaws, yeah. Jaws Part 12 or whatever
Sharknado
it was in
Back to the Future
2. Yeah.
Right.
Sharknado 2.
Hey, that anybody? Comes out next year. We finally Sharknado get to see Jaws 2. 12 or whatever.
Oh, yeah?
I guess.
Oh, is Lou right? Gossett Jr. in it? I hope.
Yeah.
Well, is he alive?
The shark still looks fake. You like how I'm wearing my headphones like they're 1980s, yeah. 2015 glasses?
Yeah, I love it.
Take a seat there, Jordan.
You can tell how excited we are to speculate on the trailer.
Yeah, where's he placement.
Okay. So right here's what we got left. The last big one left that's within the next, you know, we're hearing rumors that we're going to see this in the next 4 to 5 weeks. Well, the only big one that we got coming out that people are speculating that it might be attached to would be The Hobbit. Which is
no.
Mike breaks into a British accent. The Hobbit.
That is actually incorrect.
Well, that
there's another movie that's coming out that we
there is,
and that would
we
be
did not think about.
No, are you talking about Superman v or Batman v Superman?
No, that's too far
I'm
out.
I'm trying not to think about that.
This is true.
Agreed.
This is true.
That's all the way out in May. They're not going to sit on this for that long.
No. Well,
there's
right.
another Disney movie coming out.
Indeed, yes, there is.
Yes. You're right. There is.
We missed it.
We did.
Yeah. we'll go ahead. Go ahead if you want to.
Okay.
Spill the Disney movie.
On Christmas Day, which is right around the corner.
In Frozen 2.
Hey, Christmas
Into
is coming.
The Woods.
Is Into
Disney
the Woods.
Oh, yeah.
There are giants in the sky.
Someone who follows us on Facebook who's in the movie industry.
Really?
Yes.
Well. He works at a movie theater.
He's in the cinema industry.
There are big, tall, terrible.
He works at a Blockbuster in Des Moines. He works at a Blockbuster in Des Moines.
His name's
Scott.
Oh,
wait,
Scott.
No, that was
Potter.
Bill
he
Murray.
Said there's been.
You shouldn't call people out, man. But
that is coming
out
before
Potter.
That movie. Yes, thank
friend
you.
Of the show.
Friend of the show.
Yep.
He
posted on Facebook that that's the rumor being thrown around.
The rumor being thrown around amongst the theater management that it might be in front of that movie.
That is a
but it
terrible
also
idea.
Be in front of The Hobbit.
I don't know.
Which comes out before.
They're saying.
Here's the thing.
I mean,
the Into the Woods, I mean, I've heard that too, but the criticism of that rumor is that it's not going to hold.
It's a musical?
It's not going right. to hold. Yeah, it's not going to hold the audience that The Hobbit would. So
they're just trying to get people to buy tickets.
It might be a Disney property, right. But
here's the thing. Something I learned: Disney can only run trailers in front of another production company's movies twice a year. If they've already used that up this year, they can't do it.
Have they used it up? Do we know?
Big Hero 6.
I don't. And it's infuriating me that I haven't been able to get that information.
And I've read the same thing today, and I don't believe that they have.
Does that include Marvel movies or just Disney?
No, Disney. Marvel is Disney. So,
yeah, that's, anything owned by Disney, they can throw things around their own all they want.
I think I've seen Guardians of the Galaxy and Big Hero 6.
In front of other films. Yeah.
Every movie I've seen.
I think it's real likely they may have already shot their wad on that one. They might not have. Yeah. But if that is the case, it lends more credence to the possibility of Into the Woods, if in fact it's going to be in front of a movie at all.
So if it's if it's a 2014 release for this trailer, it's going to be Into the Woods or The Hobbit. Is that pretty much what we're hearing?
Well, Slash Film is saying with 100% certainty of one of their people that they know.
I've heard this 100% certainty
that
all
is
over.
not going to be on The Hobbit.
I know. I read the same thing today, but I also
heard somebody else say 3 days ago with 95% certainty it's going to be in front of The Hobbit.
Right.
So,
yep. Me too.
I have that right here.
Yeah.
Right. That's I still think there's some credence to The Hobbit. I really do. But Into the Woods, I mean, I guess it makes sense too if they want to put it in front of a Disney property.
Into the Woods puts you
rough.
Into the Woods puts you in front of some of the right people, but it puts you in front of some of the not right people at the same time.
Yeah. Well, here's what I know about Into the Woods.
I have a hard time believing that.
I am watching my kid while my wife goes to see it.
Yeah? Yeah. Well, then I'll probably be there with your wife.
Oh, good. Yeah. Enjoy.
Well, yeah.
Let me know if they have the trailer.
Look below at the worlds you left and the things you know a little more than the glasses enough to show you how small you are.
I'm done. You know what's funny, Corey? You mentioned
headphones are off. Petrie's exiting stage left.
You mentioned that Attack of the Clones, you wanted to go see the trailer for that, and it was in front of Monsters, Inc. or something like that. And you were like, oh, yeah, maybe I'll stay and watch Monsters, Inc. Well, Monsters, Inc., I'd stay and watch. This Into the Woods, I couldn't care less about it.
Oh, really?
I know nothing about it. I don't know what it is. And
that's why they're putting a preview in front of
something with the Wizard of Oz.
It's a Sondheim musical.
Okay, great. Who cares?
Me?
Who? What? Well, good for you.
You and your rebel-hating face.
I'm just saying, I don't think they're going to reach a mass audience by putting it in front of that.
I agree. It's not the critical mass they need, but they don't need the critical mass that they want.
Yeah. So let's just say it this way. If it's 2014, it's probably going to be The Hobbit, or it's going to be this Into the Woods. If it's not one of those two, we're looking at 2015, don't you think?
Yeah, they'd have to. Well, here's their marketing failure if they do Into the Woods. Because if their hope is to get more money by someone like me paying to go see Into the Woods just to see the trailer, I'm going to wait for it to be on YouTube.
Oh, yeah. Here's the thing. Yeah. You're not going to have to wait because the day it comes out, the day it comes out, it's on YouTube. Yep. It's on The Daily Show. It's on CNN. It's on Colbert Report. It's on at midnight. It's on everything.
I have to admit, I was right there watching The Hunger Games with my phone ready to record.
Ready to go.
If it showed up.
All right. I'm going to give you a high five on that one. You earned it.
Attaboy.
You earned it. Way to be illicit content.
Okay, so
Johnny Depp's in Into the Woods. Is that?
That's a good thing, right?
Yeah.
You get okay. You get to see Captain Kirk sing. Young Captain Kirk.
Okay, great.
I'm just saying.
Is that your stomach stone? You really scared me all alone.
All right, go back upstairs. Headphones are back down again.
Done.
He's exiting again. I really. Honestly, I was looking up the different actors and actresses that are in it because I really do like this musical. I've seen the older version with Bernadette Peters in it several times. It was just a recording of the stage performance of it. Like it a lot. But it's a star-studded cast for a musical. And I was looking through and I saw that Chris Pine is in it. I'm like, what? As Prince Charming. And I was like, I need to know more about this because I like Chris Pine a lot.
I do too.
And so I Googled him and I listened to him singing country music. I'm not a country music fan, but he had, now granted, there's a wide gap between a Barry Sondheim musical and country, but the dude's got pipes.
Okay.
Got pipes. I'm telling you, this is going to be enjoyable. Have you seen Sweeney Todd?
No.
Yes.
I'm not a musical guy, man. I'll tell you what, someday I will be.
This is the guy from the band member of like 30 years. Hey, I'm not a musical guy.
Just a real quick note about
I'll tell you Sweeney my daughter
Todd.
Will be.
Real quick
so
note about Sweeney Todd. The preview for Star Wars Episode 7 was not before that either.
That's true.
Wiping it off.
Yep.
Okay. If it's not in 2014, we're talking 2015. You know, what do we got going on at that point? There was mentions of a Super Bowl. Just, you know,
too far out.
We don't need to do it in front of a movie. I mean, it'll be in front of a movie once it's released, but they could release it to TV. So there's a couple options there. We've talked about an ABC release in front of us, some kind of special of some sort, or a movie or something.
Yeah. Or
the Super Bowl, Rebels. Because that would be... Do you think it's too far out? I mean, we talked about
3 months. Why are they rushing it to get done to wait 3 months?
Why is it, you know, in John Williams' hands right now if... It's
and has be been. Out, I gotta believe he's done. I don't think it takes him that long to score a teaser.
Then why not The Hobbit or this Into the Woods?
I want it to be on The Hobbit.
I want it to be an Into the Woods. Honestly, even though I'll probably get dragged to see The Hobbit by you, most likely.
Why not both?
Well, it could be once it's out on one. It could. It's easy. They can throw it on every Disney movie that comes out.
Sure,
but I just
does this really even matter?
Nope, because there's YouTube.
We're really putting a lot of effort in this. And yeah. It doesn't matter. I mean, like you said, YouTube. Once it comes out, it's going to be on YouTube everywhere. Yep. So.
And that's the thing I'm saying. Whether I mean, they could say, all right, let's go put it on The Hobbit. If they've got that opening, if they can cross-pollinate with The Hobbit. But then they go, you know what? Why would we do that? Let's throw it in front of a movie that we know has a solid fan base, but not a wide appeal. That way we can get a little more money for that. And it will make itself everywhere without us doing a thing.
Here's what I honestly think. I think they're going to go the Ultron route, and they're going to release it to TV.
Yeah.
I mean,
I've actually really enjoyed the theory of actually re-showing the last two episodes of the season of Rebels on ABC as an hour-long primetime block. Because, to be continued.
Right.
So show them as an hour-long primetime block, yep. And at the end, reveal the teaser. I think that's classy. I think that would be really cool.
Yep. I don't know why not.
There's your winner.
I don't know why
not. Well, all they got to do is clear up an hour of primetime on, like, a Sunday. It's almost always a Sunday.
On ABC?
Kind of
what else is on ABC?
I don't watch anything on ABC except Modern Family and Blackish.
They've done Rebels on ABC, so that would make sense.
Yeah.
It really would to me.
Yeah.
Well, you show the last two episodes.
Except showing the last two episodes where other people without cable have not seen all of the in-between episodes. It's a little weird.
But do you need to? I mean, we talked about that most of these episodes are kind of one-offs. So you show the cliffhanger.
I don't know.
Whatever.
I'm trying to think like a TV exec. They haven't seen the rest of it. Why would blah, 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 blah. You're making my ears hurt. Arr. You know,
marathon it some Sunday.
The whole idea between the Ultron trailer was to show it, you know, with an episode of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what
that was their intention anyway.
Right. That was their intention. We know it got leaked early.
Darn you, Hydra.
Right. But why not? I mean, that's what they just tried to do with their other big property. Why not do the same thing with Star Wars?
Could be. It is all still up in the air. You know what else is up in the air?
What's that?
The plot of Episode 7.
What?
It is.
Yeah.
All over again?
Oh. I think we know the whole plot by now.
Well, there's a rumor going around.
What?
No.
About Star Wars?
Are we talking about rumors?
We already are.
We already are. We've been talking about rumors for a while now.
There was music and everything.
Yeah. I talked about stripping. That's probably why you blacked out.
Could you play the music again just for Mike?
I like the music.
Yeah. He's pointing at the control board like I've completely lost my mind.
Push the button.
You didn't push the button.
Oh, Mike hates Rebels.
We've got a rumor that is hitting the web through some CD channels, but yet being kind of taken
CD or CD?
CD.
Okay.
But being taken seriously by some less CD channels as if there's some additional sourcing behind it. And it has to do with the the way that episode 7 and this is the way episode 7 ends.
Yeah, we had some very interesting stuff coming
We gave everybody the rumor flag earlier.
Yeah.
Right. This is not talking about what's in episode 7. This is literally talking about what could be the final scene of episode 7. I'm willing to talk about it because I don't know, and as far as I'm concerned, I can talk about this like it's real and have it be complete rubbish. I'm okay with that. But if you done one, if when you see it, you go, I already heard about that. Now I'm angry 2020. Then don't be watching this.
Stop listening.
Don't listen to this. But we are going to talk about what could potentially be the final scene of episode 7, The Force Awakens.
Well, Star Wars 7 News and Cinema Blend are reporting.
Cinema Blend via Star Wars 7 News in this case.
Right, exactly. They claim to have gotten hold of the end of the movie or
gotten the details through a channel,
whatever their channels are.
Right.
And again, this is all rumor, speculation.
And a lot of people are sourcing it back to just a 4chan thread. But there are other people saying, no. The 4chan thread actually confirms something we're hearing through other channels.
Exactly.
I don't believe anything on 4chan.
If it's on 4chan, it's automatically not true, right?
Yeah, I think that's.
Yeah, that mostly.
Isn't that the site you put like pictures of what you ate for dinner on it?
No, that's
social media.
You put pictures of your nude ex-girlfriend eating dinner.
Oh,
on it.
All right.
Yeah, so I should start watching
that. What's that going website? To 4chan
then.
Yeah.
No, don't do that.
No,
we do not recommend going there.
ever. Or at least if you are, make sure you're running Tor.
All right. Well, this some of this is stuff that we've heard before, and it kind of ties in with new details. So we'll just start right away that, again, this is something we've heard whispered before, that Han actually dies at the end of episode 7.
What?
Oh. I know. What the hell? No, actually, and this goes back to you know, rumors and things about Return of the Jedi, where Han and Harrison Ford and
he's Han to me.
And some of the producers had suggested that perhaps, what if we kill off, you know, the character of Han Solo, blah, blah, blah. And some people have theorized that Harrison Ford signed on to episode 7 as long as he would be able to be killed off.
Some of those people, meaning us in like episode 2 of like casual.
Right.
We're talking about the only reason why he was willing to do this was because he got signed on to do some other stuff he wanted to do.
Right.
And also he Indiana only Jones. Has to do one.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So that's the big theory. And what they're trying to say is that, yes, indeed, Han dies at the end of this. And kind of the overarching detail is that, at the end of this, Luke, and this is something that we've heard already too, that Luke saves the day at the end of episode 7, but it's not in necessarily a good way.
The details that we're hearing are that Luke's actually in a blind, angry, dark rage.
Right.
And I don't know who is responsible. Well, I don't know any of this to be true, but I'm not sure who the claim is that is responsible for Han's death. If Han actually ends up getting hit by Luke or, you know,
right.
gets, I don't know, two legs and a bad ankle cut off. I'm not sure. But Han is laying there dying and Luke is ready to murder the Shazbot out of Adam Driver's character.
Right.
And Han, of all people, says to Luke, don't kill him.
Right.
And the fact that it's coming from Han and Luke's not thinking it himself makes Luke go, oh, wait, I'd messed up. I just messed up. Yeah. If Han's telling me not to murder a dude, this is the dude what shot Greedo, sort of.
Yeah.
Yes, he did.
He shot first, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
that's
so
our official stance.
My official stance is he shot only. Take that, world.
Right.
So that's what kind of brings Luke back under control, sparing Adam Driver's character, which is probably not the best of ideas. Now, even though it brings Luke back under control, then Adam Driver goes on to be the cyborg type person holding Vader's mask. And the one of the last shots of the movie is his eyes blazing as he stares into the mask of Vader and becomes our primary antagonist for episodes 8 and 9.
Yep, that's what we're hearing. So now, and that begs the question, because these stories that we see, at least from what I've read, doesn't address some of this. So let's go ahead and throw this stuff out. Who is Adam Driver to Han Solo? What is Adam Driver's character to Han Solo?
You mean Jason Solo?
He would say to Luke, he would say to Luke, don't kill him.
It would appear,
as Garrick is saying, it would appear that perhaps he is his son.
He is the son of Han and Leia.
Solo and Leia Organa Solo.
Ta-da.
Exactly. I mean, and this is something, and it's funny because, you know, at the very beginning, Adam Driver's character was supposed to be the villainous character. You know, he was supposed to be the one that was going to be.
And we got way off of that, right. Way far away from that because of all the different promo photos and crazy stuff.
And then it came back in. He did a GQ spread and
dressed up pretty much as Han Solo.
Right.
But again, that makes sense.
It does. It really does.
But we're looking at, he looks at scoundrel pose. He's a good guy. Knock on the chin.
So, and Garrick's right. This kind of brings us to the Jason character. Now, will he be called Jason? We don't know that.
Yes,
but,
he will.
But the Jason character in the expanded universe, for those who don't know, is a son of Han and Leia.
Twin brother to Jaina,
who... may be the Daisy Ridley character.
Yeah. We still don't know. And what's Jaina doing hanging out in the belly of an AT-AT?
We don't know that. But in the expanded universe, the character of Jason, who is Han's son, becomes a Sith.
Yeah.
And it becomes what's called Darth Cadus. Right, in the expanded universe.
Dark Cicadas.
Dark Cicada.
Yep.
He only comes out every seven years.
So anyway, if this is true, I think some of us, including myself, would be a little excited about that because that's,
again, pulling the Legends canon and kind of weaving it back in. You know, I want to talk about another J.J. Abrams property.
Okay.
One of the things, it is. How did you know? After seeing the first Star Trek movie, I thought it was interesting. Not the motion picture, but, you know, J.J. Abrams Star Trek. I thought it was interesting that here we have these split timelines. But even though, you know, what happens at the beginning of that movie because of, you know, Nero, the Romulan coming back and jacking with stuff. And then, of course, also, you know, just going Vulcan, not a thing anymore. Spoilers. Sorry, Gary. Even though all that happens, the crew and Spock kicks Kirk off and sticks him on the ice planet and Hoth and then the Wampa chases him down a hill. Now, I even though all that happened, it's still pulled back together. So they were all together in the end. Now, obviously, that's done for the sake of story. It's a Star Trek. We're not going to just shatter everything. Right. But I theorized at the time, what if, even though they've split from the time because of these obvious things happen, that the events of the timeline will still want to pull back together. So the old continuity and the new continuity still kind of coexist. Well, then we get to the second one, Into Darkness. And guess what? It's exactly that exact same thing's happening. They're going up against Khan, who they went up against in the original series.
You didn't say that right.
They went up against Khan.
That's better.
Who they went up against in the original series, plus, of course, The Wrath of Khan, one of the best sci-fi movies ever made. And again, we see these events that like originally happened in, you know, a completely different way, kind of weaving back in and tying back in together. And yet, why is that happening? Because writers, that's why. But it makes sense that they're like, we've got this rich canon. Why abandon it completely?
Right.
There's no reason to. I think we're kind of seeing the same kind of thing going on here where they're going, and they've said it to us. They've said, we're not just going to throw the baby out with the bathwater. Right. But I think we're actually seeing them. Let's take it and, you know, admit to ourselves, we can't do everything exactly the way it was done, but let's do our version of that.
Yes. Yeah.
I had abandoned that hope for a while.
I know you did. You were just like,
I was ready to go. Nah, write it off.
Yeah.
F them all.
I'm fine. Just forget it.
But now I'm back to the point where I'm like, I would like that.
You know what? And here's the thing.
I'm on board.
Here's the thing about all that too, because,
except Han dying,
you know, only,
I'm okay
only,
with it. It has to happen at some point. He's falling apart. He can't even walk around the Millennium Falcon without falling down.
Well, they can give him mechanical legs.
Well, as we pointed out before, you know, it's the little nuggets like that, like the fanboys, are the ones that are going to appreciate, you know, the fact that, you know, Solo's son becomes a Sith, and, you know, Leia and Solo anyway, becomes a Sith, blah, blah, blah. So it's, to me, it's kind of, I guess, poetic that it would happen that way. And it's the fanboys that appreciate that side of it. And the larger audience, though, at large, is not going to know that anyway.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's going to be new to them, it's not, and exciting.
It's neither here nor there to them, but look at all the people that it does matter.
Exactly.
To.
So you're appealing to everybody, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Because it's new to the larger audience and it makes sense to the fanboys.
Agreed.
Yeah. Let me come at this from a little bit of a different angle. So the Han Solo that we were afraid that we were going to lose, the Han Solo who has now become the politician.
He's the Han Solo that we deserve.
Yeah, well, where you know, and we're saying, where does the smuggler still exist? Where does the guy who shot first still exist? Now,
well, canonically, he didn't shoot first.
Okay.
No, the grand jury did not indict him on that.
Now he lives on through Adam Driver.
Wow, PG. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Because
the darkness of the Han Solo character now lives on in Adam Driver, who goes to the dark side, and we begin to see the darkness that was inside Han Solo, who chose to side with the rebellion and brought out the quote unquote best of who Han Solo could be. Now we see the grittiness and the darkness of who Han Solo could be now portrayed through the dark side, through potentially this character. So now we get to reach out and grasp this aspect of Han Solo that we might've lost. And it comes back into the storyline.
You mean through his through his son?
Yes.
I think it would be interesting, but if that were the case, I'd want them to be upplaying the more scoundrel-like tendencies and not just the evil stuff. Yeah. Like, I want to see him just being, well, for lack of a better word, being a dick.
Sure.
You know, all the time, rather than just being, I'm dark and brooding evil and scheming.
No, the question is, who would Han Solo be had he sided on the different side?
That's deep, man. Did you find that on Wikipedia?
That was very deep. Shut up.
that's a great point, though.
Yeah,
I got $5 that says, if this is true, the reason for the contention is that Adam Driver kills Leia.
No.
Did you say Mara?
Just stop.
You think we're gonna lose Han and Leia in the same movie? Yeah.
No, I can almost guarantee it.
That's
not gonna happen.
They're gonna be burning on some sand.
Well, they're corpses. Yeah. The burnt corpses.
The writers aren't banking on Carrie Fisher surviving that long. So.
Exactly. She's been pretty resilient so far.
Because what would drive Luke
Harrison
that
Ford
mad?
Is old as hell.
What would drive Luke that angry that he would be willing to kill his own nephew besides his nephew killing his sister?
Oh, I don't
know. His nephew killed his wife.
He kills his redheaded wife?
Oh, maybe.
His brother-in-law. Yeah, okay.
Sort of. Just saying.
If it was confirmed Mara Jade was actually supposed to be in the movie, I would go that direction.
Okay, what about if he killed his niece?
No, but I want Daisy Ridley in for the rest of it.
Yeah, Daisy Ridley's our heroine.
She's in.
She'd be a Force Ghost?
Why not? Anybody can be a Force Ghost nowadays, apparently. Right.
Well, gentlemen, I made a promise earlier. I made a promise that we would be airing the first recording by the official Fly Casual Glee Club.
Oh, yeah.
Here we go.
Oh, yeah. You got to be kidding me.
No, I'm not. The results are mixed.
Okay.
Put it that way.
All right.
I think that's okay. Saying it lightly.
We can judge this.
But yeah, you know, we've committed to a Christmas song every week, every episode until Christmas.
All right.
So without further ado.
Here we go.
I give you One Arm the Wampa.
Oh, yeah. I like it so far.
One Arm the Wampa. He was feeling kind of down. He had bushy white bangs and some razor sharp things and two horns upon his crown.
That's true.
Down by the snowbanks was a tauntaun and some shove. He gave the beast a swipe across the old windpipe and dragged the other dude home to grub. It must have been forced magic in that dude hung in his cave. But when his sword flew to his hand, old one-arm got a hasty shave. Coming down the snowbanks, little rebel tried to get away. Had saber puree.
Step aside into the woods.
He'd exact revenge, but found an empty trench as the rebels had escaped to space. Ooh, to space.
Was that Chris Pine? Was he? Was he in the background?
I'm not sure. I don't know if that qualifies as a Glee club. I think that was.
It was something.
That was more of a Glee bus stop. I'm
So we.
They
we
sounded tell, gleeful though.
They did.
They did. Yeah.
Can we tell Papa that keep him going? Keep
well,
him
going? I don't,
we should.
Papa's told me he wants nothing to do with any part of this. Okay. I got in trouble for even crediting him for knowing the guy.
Did he punch you in the jiblies?
No, I did not get punched in the jibbly, the jib jabs. So he, yeah. But hey, you know, we're running long, but we said last time that we would answer some questions. I think we have time for one user question. Mike, are you doing the navigation in the meantime?
Yeah, I'm trying. I gotta pull it up.
Yeah.
That's
quick. Someone up. Say something.
Hey.
Star Wars.
There are so giants in the sky.
Well, there was. Don't I just, sing there was anymore. Something on the trailers that just was released an hour ago.
Oh, right.
That there is
breaking news.
Speculation. While recording, that the debut is going to be released to 100 theaters nationwide. Ooh. In front of every showing of all the movies in that theater, in those theaters. But they had to play Big Hero 6 as the early showtime for each day.
Oh, wow.
Interesting.
Wow.
So this was on comicbook.com.
They're trying to get Big Hero 6
so we can take a look at it and get
they're
it
trying to extend the showings of Big Hero 6 for the daytime crowd. Is what they're doing.
Yeah.
100 theaters.
Well, we talked about this.
Oh, by the way.
Actually, this was Garrick's theory, wasn't it?
Hold on. By the way.
I win. Eat it.
Next week. All right. Next week,
which is after this podcast will air. So a week from today.
So if you're listening to this, you missed it, dork.
Or we're completely wrong. You
should have listened sooner.
Yeah. 100 theaters is not a lot of theaters.
No.
That's almost none theaters.
It'll still be on YouTube.
Well, they probably know that it's going to get released anyways on the internet. So,
right.
And that's what I've said since the beginning is that we're in the information age. I mean, does it even matter? I mean, it's going to be to YouTube immediately.
It'll be on YouTube. It'll be everywhere. It'll be on Twitter. Speaking of Twitter.
All right. Well, we got some questions.
Pick one. We got time for one question. What's the meatiest one on there?
Let's see. Well, how about the most fun one?
I don't know. All right, I like fun. Fun is good.
All right, I'm just gonna.
So, who submitted the question?
This is to us from at @HornFox.
HornFox
on Twitter.
All right.
It says, how much blame does Padme deserve for helping plunge the universe into darkness? Ouch. That's a good one. Wow. I like that one.
Huh. Well.
So what do you guys think?
I have a strong opinion.
She was blamed because she got pregnant and died?
I wouldn't say that. I would say Anakin was always an idiot. And she should have known better.
Yeah, true.
It's like, you know, let's go back to the embarrassing scenes of episode 2 where she's like, you'll always be that boy I knew back on whatever.
No. Jar Jar's more to blame than she is. Jar Jar's the one who voted emergency powers to Palpatine.
Crap.
Who ended up using them.
If we're going to look at this seriously, we need to look at Attack of the Clones. We need to look at after he slaughtered the sand people.
Yeah.
Killed his mother. He goes.
So is Padme not complicit in Jar Jar though? Was he not a representative below her?
I'm just saying the woman done.
I don't think she was there when he did that, was he?
Look,
was
she should have known, because, again, going back to my point about after he slaughtered all the Sand People, they have their little moment in the shop at the farm where he basically says, yeah, I killed a bunch of women and children. And she's like, oh, it's okay. It's so no big deal.
You're saying the same.
Like, yeah, but your mom totally died.
She's an enabler. Enabler.
You're postulating that the Sand People would have saved the universe somehow?
This is a woman who was the queen of a planet.
Yes.
And the senator in a galactic senate.
Yes.
Who is always like completely TBing for peace.
Right.
And for, you know, for everyone to have equal freedom and rights and stuff. And he goes, I've murdered a whole bunch of people. She's like, it's cool.
It's
no
big deal. No one likes them. All right. Yeah. They're just Sand People. Yeah. They're not really human.
She should know better. I mean, she was totally like, she's like, oh, you're just a whiny adolescent. And he goes, yeah, but I can cut apples with the Force. And she goes, oh, come on.
I love you, Annie.
The 180 that she does was it's bad writing, is what it was. Yes. But it was just completely and totally unbelievable.
It was written, so
yeah,
As it was written, it was done.
But I would argue that it would have been better written for him to hide it from her. I don't know why that he.
Yeah, felt to like hide that, all of it from her.
Right,
but since it wasn't written that way. Now we can shift the blame.
That's right.
Sure.
And I agree with Horn Fox that we can place blame on Padme. Isn't that victim blaming, though?
Yeah. So next time you watch Revenge of the Sith and she's sitting there crying on the birthing bed while the droids float around and go, oopa, oopa. You can sit there and go, yeah, you got what you had coming to you.
So wait, is this like an Adam and Eve kind of a thing where who ate the apple first kind of a thing and who brought sin into the world?
Yeah, as long as Adam was also a whiny D-bag who couldn't tell right from wrong. Yeah. Yeah,
well, to be fair, they kind of spawned a whiny D-bag, too. I want to eat
from the tree of knowledge, too. Wizards.
The God of the Force was like, guys,
Thank you for that.
But I'm drunk.
Josh, in your defense, I'm only laughing at how that fell so flat. I'm still not sure what the joke was.
Hello, world.
Saved it.
There you go.
Well, I think that is more than enough to top this one off. We definitely would encourage you to follow us on Twitter at breastplate or dog.
17 episodes in. This is what it's come
to. I've gone at least 6 or 7 episodes without doing that, too. That's the worst part. Reset the clock. Last accident happened in 0 days ago. At flycasual1138 is our Twitter handle. Consarn it.
And on Facebook at
facebook.com/ Fly Casual Podcast. Yes. I have to be extra careful now. I have to put the pauses in. And
you need to be extra, extra careful.
Yeah, I need to be extra special careful.
As always, we want you to rate us. Get on iTunes, Stitcher, whatever your favorite podcasting outlet is. Make sure you rate us so we can
expose ourselves to the masses.
Exactly. As we like to do.
That's right. And then we'll find Petrie booking us in.
Probably.
Yep. That's the goal. You got to have a plan, folks.
It's just a misdemeanor. Don't worry about it.
Hey, I'd like to say a special thanks to our friends Josh and Steve
for
sitting in with us tonight. What? Thanks, guys.
Thank you for having me again.
Yeah, absolutely.
This was awesome.
It's been a blast. And also you can follow us individuals on Twitter at I'm at Wilson Corey T.
Mike is at Mike underscore Archibald.
Mike is at, you had to say at again, didn't you? Oh, that was directed at me, wasn't it, Mike? Any chance to say at? Mike underscore Archibald. Howie's at SJ Howie, and Garrick's at some nonsense. That's me. Petrie and Josh
aren't in there somewhere.
Yeah, somewhere. Yeah. Petrie and absolutely. Josh are not as Twitter savvy. So they're still catching up with the Joneses' grandparents in that regard.
But I do have a microwave.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. That's a great way to defrost.
So 1980s.
Yes. That's a great way to defrost thing. Also, you may not know this, microwave comes really handy when you're cooking jelly. Just ended the podcast. See how that happened? Snuck it in there like a slider.
See ya.
No,
Go bye.
Oh.
Go bye bye. We go bye bye now.
I want you to just keep going. I don't want this to stop now.
No.
I want you to just keep expanding on
this. We go bye bye now. See ya.
Oh, yeah. Who are you channeling?
Are you mentally handicapped? Are we reaching
out? Yeah, wait,
that
are you just
now?
Young or
okay, next topic. What are we talking about now?
Oh.